Rick Ball knows that. He joins us now. Baller, thanks for doing this today. What did you think of the qualifying round?
Oh, that was pretty exciting and lots of upsets, and not surprised at all because this has been such an unusual year. I don't think you could have drawn any conclusions based on what happened prior to the shutdown. So, it's maybe Toronto went as expected because of history, but I don't know how much you want to make decisions, certainly not knee-jerk decisions based on what happened in these playoffs because it's so bizarre. So, but there's been a history of that team. You know, what's the last time they made it out of the first round? It's been 16 years.
2004. Yeah. 2004.
So, you know, the weight of history certainly doesn't look good if you're a Maple Leafs fan, but you know, what happened in that series against Columbus, they did it to the best team in the league last year in a normal season. So they can lock it down with the best of them. John Tortorella is a good coach, and they play their system to a T, and the Maple Leafs are their latest victim. But what happens in Toronto? I mean, something's got to give at some point. The biggest issue they have is the way their team is constructed. You're paying four guys so much money, and in the salary cap era, I'm not sure that's the solution. I wonder if the Oilers are seeing a similar situation where their top two guys are really good players, but you need some left over, some crumbs left over to build the team around them. And, that's just the reality when you've got a limited amount of money you can spend. And the Leafs, I think, are in a bit of a pickle based on that. And I know Berkey was talking about Nylander on the weekend after the loss to Columbus. And I heard you just mention it now. Maybe that's too simple an answer, but something's got to give you think. Although it is, like I said, you got to be careful not to overreact based on this year alone.
No question. There'll be pressure from above, though, on Kyle Dubas to do something. I don't think he moves. I think he is fine in his current post. Do you? There are some that have speculated maybe Kyle Dubas might be the guy to pay the price.
Yeah, well, they already got rid of the coach, right? So what's the next move? It's usually the GM if it's not a major shakeup with your roster. But, you know, he's a young guy. I know that, you know, they think he's got the goods to be a good general manager. So at some point, it comes down to the guys on the ice. And if it's not constructed properly, you have to make changes. But it often goes, but usually, eventually, if it doesn't improve, goes back to the guy who put that team together, and that's him. So, I wouldn't want to overreact based on this season, but there definitely need to be changes in Toronto because the way they're constructed right now is not going to get it done, even in a normal year.
I enjoyed the qualifying round as well. It was more physical and more intense than I would have even predicted. I thought there might be even more sloppy play, but man, they were able to ratchet it up as far as intensity goes. I think we are going to see some type of qualifying round moving forward. I'm not sure they'll be able to get it in for next year because of the contracted schedule and the Olympics supposedly being able to go next year and the NBC contract. But, Rick, I think we'll see whether it's 8-9 and 7-10 in each conference. I think we will see an expanded playoffs in some regard. Would you like to see it?
So what's the math on that then? You go to 18 teams and the bottom four play for the final two spots? Is that what you
20.
Do?
Or I'm trying... That would be 20 teams.
20, yeah, that's right.
20 teams. And so to me, that means it's more advantageous to rack up points and avoid that first round. So you've got teams playing harder down the stretch to be a top six team. And it also gives the opportunity for the excitement of what we just witnessed in the qualifying round. Had the suggestion on the text line this morning that maybe the advantage, the 7th and 8th place teams would get is that they would host all three potential games of a qualifying series. What do you think?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it keeps fans interested in more markets. There's more revenue, obviously, if you add an extra round. There's a lot of reasons to do it from a business perspective, but I'm a bit of a – I like the old school – I like back in the old school Major League Baseball days when the four winners in, you know, East, West, and in each league – made the playoffs, and that was it. I mean, it really put an emphasis on the regular season. The problem is you could be dead and buried halfway through the year and nobody cares anymore, and that becomes an issue. So I like the fact – and the NHL used to – you know, listen, there were 16 to 21 teams made it in for the longest time, right? So but it was always a bit of a joke. So I don't know how – if you want to go too far back down that road, I like the balance of half the teams in and half the teams out. I thought that was reasonable. But the temptation, I think, based on the experience of this year's playing around and also the fact that you can make more money would be to go ahead and do it. And I think the pressure from the owners will certainly probably lead to some kind of decision in that direction, although I hope that, frankly, it doesn't, because I think 16 teams in is perfect as far as I'm concerned.
Rick Ball joining us this morning, his biweekly hit with us here on the Scott Rentoul Show. Lottery goes today. Are you cheering for utter chaos when it comes to the lottery?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw people, who do you think's going to win? I don't know. Like, you know, pick a number between, what number am I thinking of? You know, like, there's not a science to it. But, yeah, I mean, I just, listen, like, as much as I'd love to see our friends from the north here in Calgary, you know, have some success at some point. It's been a long drought, save for the one season a few years ago when they got on a bit of a roll. But if they get another first overall pick based on ping pong balls or whatever they're doing, come on. Like, you can't keep going back to the well with the same team. They do have to institute some kind of rule where you can't win a lottery that many times, but within a short amount of time. So I really don't care, though, other than the Oilers, because of what's happened with them historically and how many first overall picks they've had in recent history. So it doesn't matter to me who winds up getting the pick. It's just going to be a damn good player, and somebody's going to be happy with that. I mean, that's the one consolation prize, and it could be a pretty good one of getting swept out or knocked out in the play-in round, because there's a nice piece of the puzzle that you could add to your team if things come out right for you here in the draft.
Well, and it'll be live on Sportsnet this afternoon, and part of the drama, according to what I saw yesterday, Greg Wyshynski tweeted this out, that because the teams have an equal chance, it's literally going to be Bettman taking the ping pong ball out of there today. That we're going to get to see that. It's not just going to be a card flipped over,
which I think
will be great.
Well, it could be the old NBA one where they claim that it was Patrick Ewing, right, where they claim that they froze the Knicks card so David Stern knew to pick New York. But, yeah, well, whatever the format, it's somebody's going to be happy and a bunch of other guys aren't. That's the way it's going to go. So we'll see how she shakes down today. But like I said, as long as it's not the Oilers, they've had their share of first overall picks. Spread the wealth a little bit.
Is 4 and 6 years a lot?
Yeah, and
that seems
to
be a high percentage.
Yeah. I mean, they got a great, obviously, you know, Connor McDavid's a generational player. Can't argue with that. But what has it led to in terms of success on the ice? Almost nothing. So, and the year that they won that first round and got into round two and pushed Anaheim to the brink, Cam Talbot was the goalie, and boy, he looked good with the Flames. You know, Cam Talbot's numbers in the playoffs are better than his numbers in the regular season. He's a .927 save percentage playoff performer in his career. It's 19 career starts. The bulk of those were in that run with the Oilers. He had a few starts in New York with the Rangers, and then the four games with Calgary in the play-in series. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't have been surprised that he got the call. I was sort of hedging my bets on Riddick, but in hindsight, obviously, Jeff Ward and the coaching staff of the Calgary Flames, including their goaltender coach, Jordan Sigalette, had a pretty good inkling who the guy was that they wanted to play, and they made the right choice. He was just terrific.
Outside of Cam Talbot, what was your biggest takeaway from the way the Flames dispatched the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, obviously, listen, I'm not going to take anything away from the Flames. They played terrific. But the Jets, you know, when you lose your two top snipers, they were in a huge hole, and Calgary just put it to them. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway from a Flames perspective is how physical they were in that series and what a game-changer Milan Lucic is in terms of just the psyche of the team, having that guy on your team in a playoff series when things get gritty. You can't overstate how important it is to have somebody who's that much of a presence physically on the ice. And he's played pretty well too, you know, and the Flames got balanced scoring. They got really good goaltending. That was a terrific series for Calgary. You know, obviously the Jets were undermined, but the Flames, you can only play who they put on the ice, and Calgary did a lot of things really well. You know, that Lucic-Bennett-Dubé line was great. The backman line with Mangiapane and Tkachuk was really good. The top line played well, especially on the power play. Their blue line looked good. I really like Rasmus Anderson with Noah Hanifin as that second pairing. I thought they were terrific together. So lots of good things for Calgary, and this would be a great series with Dallas. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it certainly will be because Dallas plays big boy playoff hockey. It's not exciting, but it's physical. Calgary played physical in the first round. It was almost a perfect qualifier series. Just enough adversity for Calgary to have to respond to. You mentioned the balanced scoring. They got it all throughout the lineup. And, of course, Cam Talbot. Vancouver also takes care of business in four games, though the goaltending they got on Friday night wouldn't have suggested it. They bailed their goaltender out. What jumped off the page to you for the Vancouver Canucks in the qualifier?
Well, I thought, you know, for a team that hasn't had any playoff experience for the most part, I thought they played with a lot of composure. And you're right, Markstrom was terrific in the regular season, but not so much in that final deciding game, but yet they were able to overcome. So, you know, the blue line for the Canucks really impressed me. You know, they got a lot of production from the back end. Hughes is great. Tanev scores the overtime winner, which I thought was fitting because he got his first ever career goal in Edmonton. It was in his third season. I only remember this because I was calling that game. It was like 60-plus games into his career. He finally scored, and it was an overtime winner against the Oilers. So it seems fitting that he goes back to Edmonton and does it in the playoffs, granted against Minnesota and granted at a different building. But the play of the Canucks blue line was just terrific. So it's a big win for Vancouver. I was impressed with pretty much everything up and down the lineup for the Canucks to do it with, you know, convincingly. They scored 12 goals in their last three games, and with very little playoff experience on that roster, and certainly as a team, you got to be happy if you're a Canucks fan going forward. Although you do have the defending Stanley Cup champions up next, so that'll be a
tough
test
that.
For sure.
Well, there's that. And, you know, Vancouver did play St. Louis well during the regular season. Can you throw that out completely?
Yep.
Can you use that in any way? Where are you at with that?
Like I said earlier, just toss it. Forget about making predictions, right? It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's a whole new season. It really is. I mean, they always say that in the playoffs, but this year in particular. So, although I made a prediction early in the season that the Washington Capitals would win the Stanley Cup, I'm not one for predictions because you wind up looking foolish more often than not, but I'm going to stick by that. I'm still hitching my wagon to the Capitals to win it all.
Don't blame you. Hey, I know that there are always different desires, and the league's trying to get this tournament wrapped up in a certain amount of time. By the way, great news today. The NHL just releasing that there were zero positive tests after the second week in the hub. So the health and safety plan continues to work fabulously well. There's no Canadian teams playing on this Saturday. I know we're not used to Hockey Night in Canada in August, but that feels like an oversight from the league, does it not?
Yeah, a little bit. It is a bit surprising since three Canadian teams are in. You'd think they would have been able to make a schedule that had one of them playing on Saturday night. So that's a bit of a head scratcher. I know John Shannon tweeted about that earlier. And, you know, obviously he has a lot of fond memories of being in charge of Hockey Night in Canada for years and years and years and just a terrific executive producer. So if anybody would sort of feel the pain of not having a Canadian team playing on a Saturday when there are options to do it, it would be him. So, you know, I'm not overly upset about it, but you'd like to think that there would be a way to honor the institution that is Hockey Night in Canada by letting one of the three teams play on the Saturday night. But the whole schedule has been bizarre. I mean, all teams are bumping around, right? They're all, you know, some are playing. You got to play some afternoon games. You got to play some evening games. You got to play the later game. It's just the way it is. But, you know, with all the moving parts, it would have been pretty simple to put Montreal, Calgary, or Vancouver on the Saturday for sure.
Well, I know it's not a building availability issue. That I know.
That's right. Well, you know, getting back to what you just said about no positive tests, I think the safest place on the planet if you want to avoid COVID would be hanging out with NHL teams right now. They've done a great job. Just first-class effort by the league. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I just, you know, hats off to the National Hockey League. This has been a logistical, a massive logistical undertaking, and to do it as well as they have and have another week with no positive tests is just remarkable. So whoever's been in charge, and I'm sure it's been a massive team effort from the league, just deserves a huge round of applause. Just they've done a terrific job.
All right, so how about a massive physical undertaking? I promised you 2 weeks ago I would give you what I think could be a new World's Strongest Man event.
Yeah, So this wasn't in the gym. It was something you were doing in real life, right?
It was. So it was at Shuswap Lake. So first of all, I want you to picture one of those big ceramic flower pots, one that you could carry with one hand, but you'd need both hands to wrap your arms around, one of those big ones that a lot of people have, okay?
Yep.
So my mom lives at Shuswap Lake. The lake was really high this year, and because they had a storm one night, one of her flower pots got swept out into the lake, and it kept, because of the waves, getting pulled out further. And she said, I need somebody to go get that. Now, it's about 15 to 20 feet off the shore. We finally find it. Somebody with goggles sees it, and it's on the bottom of the lake, obviously. Well, it's filled with water, of course. So I go out to get this, Rick. Let me tell you, it's about 10 feet down and about 20 feet offshore. You go down, you pick this thing up. Well, you can't just swim it all the way up to the surface. It's filled with water. It's way too heavy. So what you end up having to do is move this thing a couple of feet at a time on the bottom, swim back up, go back down. You want to talk exhausting? That, sir, is exhausting getting it to shore. I think they should institute this as the newest exercise in World's Strongest Man.
How long did that take, by the way? That's remarkable.
Oh, man. Believe me, it felt like a year. I did not have a timer on it, but I was gasping for oxygen each time up. You get down there, and you're only moving the thing a couple of feet. You're trying not to break it on some of the rocks that are on the bottom. I finally got this thing in, but it was so much harder than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I admire your determination, but did it ever cross your mind that you can go to Canadian Tire and buy a new one for $12?
Well, it apparently didn't cross my mom's mind, because you know this, when your mother asks you to do something, you just go do it.
You just do it, yeah. That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad you survived. By the way, I did deadlifts yesterday.
Did you?
Yep. I did not approach Hafþór Bjornsson's record in terms of amount of weight pulled off the ground. However, I did match his record for the amount of grunting in the process. So
we need video.
Yeah.
We need video. Yeah. The year in the life of you training to break that record. Hey, he already did it here. I mean, you got a year to train to beat it.
That's right. Well, I'll keep working at it. I'll let you know how it's going.
Beautiful. Hey, man, we're going to have lots of playoff hockey to talk about next time you come on. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the hockey and stay well, my friend.
You too, Scotty. My pleasure.